Hi everyone, good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, depending on where you're joining us from. Welcome to the School of Mary live cenacle series, and this is a special cenacle entitled The First Duty of the Creature. I'll explain how this came about in a moment. We're going to begin, as we always do, with prayer, and we're going to be using a supplication from the Virgin Mary in the Kingdom, day 31. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. My dear Heavenly Mother, I am back in your maternal arms, and as I look at you, a sweet smile appears on your purest lips. Today you are rejoicing, and it seems as if you wish to confide something yet more surprising to me, your child. O Holy Mother, I entreat you to touch my mind and purify my heart with your maternal hands so that I may understand your holy lessons and put them into practice. All this we ask through Christ our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So before I forget, rude of me, I'm going to bring in Maureen. Hi, Maureen.
Hi, Peter. Hi, everybody.
Okay. We were both having some issues. Maureen was having a computer issue. I had no internet for several hours and didn't know if we were going to actually have this opportunity. But everything came back, the grace of God. Well, you'll determine if it's through the grace of God, but I think it's an interesting program. You know, how it started was very interesting. You know, this is not a normal cenacle, but I think it was Tuesday. I was looking for praying about a theme for a Radio Maria program, and on the desk was this sheet with a passage, and I was so struck by it because it was out of its binder. And I'm really very meticulous. If I take a passage out to make a copy or do something, I'm pretty good at putting it back. Well, all of a sudden, this passage from volume 18 is just lying on my desk. I don't remember or recall ever having volume 18 out in the foreseeable past, maybe a couple of years at least. And so I read it and I said, wow, you know, we're always talking about what God is giving us. And rightfully so, because it's the gift of gifts, the prodigy of prodigies. But we're always talking about what he's giving us. And we know about what we should do in response or how we should respond. You know, Our Lady explains to us, making the rounds throughout creation. Mother Gabriel Maria is emphatic about that. She says acts and rounds are what we're supposed to do. It's repairing and redoing. Father Celso reminds us of that. Father Nuzzi does. But this passage really explains, based on the picture, you know, a picture tells a thousand words. We're supposed to give glory to God in everything around us because creation was made for us as a gentle and subtle reminder of God in everything we do. And really, that's all we're called to do. And then from that comes a myriad of different things. Because again, every time we make a round, and if we're in the divine will, we do our preventing act in the morning, and God so graces us with the gift on loan, even we receive a light from God. God says a light appears. Now, we may not be able to see it with our eyes, but a light interiorly comes. And every time we go past that word and through a sentence, more lights come, more knowledges, more inspiration. And this just continues to go on. And I just thought it was really good if we just take this, dissect it a bit, and make it interactive. So what we're going to do is, I think we haven't done this in a while. Maureen's going to be so kind. She's going to read a segment. We're going to pause. I may say a few words, and Maureen perhaps may also. And I'd like to open it up if anyone has anything they'd like to share pertaining to what we just read. I think the best way to do that is everyone on their screen has a hand raise function. So if you can raise your hand, I don't mean on the like this because I won't be able to see you probably. There's going to be a lot of people joining. But raise your hand with your mouse and it'll put you to the top and we'll be able to bring you into the conversation at that stoppage. And we'd like to hear what you'd like to, what you want to share with us. Because again, that's how we learn from each other. Again, we all see the color blue. Let's say the divine will is blue. we all see blue, but we all see a slightly different hue, H-U-E, a different tint of the color blue. And it's inspiring to recognize how somebody else perceives something. Again, we're not talking right and wrong. We're talking about, you know, everything in the context of what we're reading is being really, really straightforward. In fact, you'll find that with Jesus' words today. But our processing of it is going to be unique because each of us have had unique experiences. We've had unique lives. No two lives are the same. We've been disposed slightly differently. So it's just really encouraging, I think, to be able to share. So the hand raise will be the mechanism in which I can determine if you want to share, and then I'll turn your mic on and you may share. And I think it'll be nice. Okay, so I'm going to bring it up now. And I think I did include it in the email yesterday, so everyone had a chance to perhaps look at it or read it, ponder it. And again, this picture tells the story. Thank you, Lord, for awakening today, for awakening me physically, spiritually, and I'm blessed to be alive at this time. I really am. And everything is a gift. There's no such thing as a bad day anymore with the divine will. Zero bad days. Yeah, of course, some days are going to be slightly better than others. In fact, sometimes they're going to be strategically better than others, but there's no such thing as a bad day anymore. So we're going to find out what Jesus is, what he anticipates from us, what he expects from us, what he's looking for in the way of a response, and what to do so that we can take that light and then offer it back to God so that he can give us more lights. You know, it's like feeding that child in the high chair. You know, you give a spoonful of food and you wait. You don't keep, you know, putting the food in the mouth of the child. You know, a couple of things could happen, choke, maybe an upchuck, and everything's not really good that's going to happen if you force feed the child. So what you do is you give the child some food and you watch and you wait, and he or she masticates and then swallows. And Jesus uses those words also. Once you swallow, Jesus says, you're ready for more food. So he's going to give us another truth. So, but we have to chew on it, because if we don't chew on it, we're not going to understand. We're not going to get the context. We're not going to get the texture. We're not going to get the taste. We're not going to understand. So once we swallow, after chewing properly, God gives us more. And this is so great. So I'm going to bring the pointer out, Maureen. And okay. We're going to start here. And like I said, at the end, we'll have a few comments and then we'll open it up. Anyone would like to raise their hand? We'd love to hear your inspiration. Okay.
August 9th, 1925. How requiting God in love for all created things enters the first duty of the creature. The divine will was given as primary life of the creature.
All right. I'd like to stop there. I didn't put a cross there. It gives me like last minute. How requiting God in love for all creative things enters the first duty of the creature. God doesn't say here it's one of the first duties. It's, you know, I in the handful of first duties, he says this is the first duty. There's only one first. And a requital is something given in return. So, for example, an employer gives a requital to an employee in the form of a salary. We're giving back something in exchange for something that we've given. In this case, what God has given. Again, first duty, not the second, not the multiple. And again, the divine will was given as primary life of the creature. Jesus says that in a lot of volumes. The one that I am most fond of is volume 14, September 11, 1922. And I'm just going to read a snippet of it. Quote, this is Jesus speaking. Therefore, there is nothing I did which did not have as primary purpose that man take possession of my divine will and I of his. This was my primary purpose in creation, the same in redemption. The sacraments that I instituted, the many graces given to my saints, have been the seeds, the means to let man reach this possession of my divine will. End quote. A seed, a mean, a way to get there. A seed doesn't remain a seed. A seed blossoms and grows into something. That's a hard one to swallow for some new to the divine will. The church, the sacraments, they're just a seed. That's not where I stay. No. It's the greatest vehicle in which to bring us back to the order, the place, and the purpose, which were created by God, the prelapsarian heir of Adam, which is our intention, and that is God's intention. It's beautiful. Everything given to us for 2,000 years, everything in our church is there to bring us back to where we belong. In fact, even in the catechism, I don't have the number off the top of my head, but the catechism even states there will come a time where there'll be no more church, no more sacraments. Not because he decided to take them away from us, but they won't be necessary. Adam didn't have the church. Adam didn't have the sacraments. He didn't need it. We certainly need it. And we're going to continue to need it. But if we go back, it's that perfect union. And everything that we have right now that's been given to us is to bring us back to that order. That's astonishing. And what's also astonishing, I lost my pointer. Okay, here's Louisa. This is a funny little quote that she makes here, statement, I should say.
My Jesus, give me strength. You who see the great repugnances I feel in writing, such that if it wasn't for blessed obedience and for fear of displeasing you, I would not have written a single word anymore. Your long privations daze me and render me incapable of anything. Therefore, I need greater help in order to put on paper what your holy will whispers to me. Therefore, give me your hand and be always with me.
And we really just need to have a slightly different variation of the words used here. As Louisa says, I need greater help in order to put on paper what your holy will whispers to me. So what Louisa was struggling with writing, we may have a struggle with reading or listening to the volumes or meditating on them. I think we all have blockages with that. I know I certainly do. And I have to constantly have these sticky notes all over the place to remind me to come back to the real world, which is the divine will, and away from this fictitious world that we live in, this grand illusion that we live in. I can't think of any specifics, but I know just the trials, I think, of life and just the obligations we have, the responsibilities we have, sometimes gets us so focused like the horse's blinders that we don't see the things around us, especially, I think in my case, when it comes to adoring God in all of creation. You know, the sun's shining brightly. It's a beautiful day, cool breeze. Do we give thanks to God for that? Or even if it's snowing, we thank him for the beautiful white snow, which is eventually going to melt and fill our wells and replenish and hydrate the ground and the crops. All these things, it's easy to forget, but this is what God's looking for. This is, again, this is our first duty. And we have a multitude of opportunity. Because, again, all of creation, Jesus says, was created for us as a gentle reminder of the love God has for us. That is astonishing. Rain, any comments on that?
Louisa, she's such a great teacher, and she doesn't even realize it. The way she acts and her little weaknesses, or her, when she has her privations or when she has her complaining or whatever she does, she's such a great teacher for me. And she doesn't mean to be a teacher, but I just fall in love with her. And it seems like her weaknesses help us to keep going. Keep going. Look what Louisa's going through, and she sees Jesus, you know. So I think she's a good choice. I think Jesus picked a great lady. My own private thoughts on Louisa. Right. He knew exactly who he was picking. She's wonderful.
Really what she's doing, Maureen, is she's just showing God the love she has for him. And in that showing of love, it's teaching us how to love Jesus. You know, a lot of times we, I mean, nobody's ever taught us how to love. I certainly wasn't given any instructions on how to do that. And also no one's given us the, I think very few people, I know I didn't, were given the admonition that, you know, when you first love someone, well, let's take a couple and they fall in love. You can't fully love somebody in a short period of time. You have to grow to know the person. And in knowing that person, you increase that love. And that's why somebody who's been married for 2 months compared to 20 years, if everything works properly, the 20-year should have such an enormously different love for each other. Maybe not quite the same love as when they were first married. A different love, a greater love, a greater respect. And I think that's why the Baltimore Catechism is stated, you know, what's our purpose in life? It's to know God, to love God, and to serve God in that order. Because the more we know God, the more we're going to love Him. Just like the more we know our spouse, the more we love them. And the more we love them, the more we're going to want to serve them. And now with the divine will, we recognize the greatest way to serve God and to please God is to fuse our wills, is to give up our human will, or God's holy will. We don't give it away, but we give it up. We say, okay, God, no more is this will going to be driving this car. I'm going to sit in the back seat. You take the wheel because you know exactly where I need to go. He's the author of our life. He gives us editing capability. But I know, I don't know about you, Maureen. Every time I try to edit my book of life, I'm in a big problem or a quagmire. I steer myself to the cliff. We have to give it back, give the steering wheel back to God. And there's a great song by a Christian artist by the name of Donna Lee. And the name of the song is Backseat Driver. And it really explains that story. You know, God, I'm going to give you the wheel now because I've been driving myself in circles and in danger. And now I want you to take care of me. Like you want to. It's just incredible. Would anybody like to share their thoughts on that that very short but yet powerful sentence? Okay, I see Valerie was first. I'm going to ask Valerie to, oops, did I lose you, Valerie? Oh, I lowered your hand before I unmuted you. I'll come back to you. Okay. Hi, Valerie.
Hi, everybody. Hi, Maureen. When I heard this and just a little background, I'm a convert, so I'm a former Bible Christian. So the first thing that I thought of is Ephesians 1:12, and from the New American Standard Bible, in the end, we who were first to hope in Christ would be to the praise of his glory. And it just brought that to mind. And just a little testimony, real brief. Maureen knows me from the Flame of Love. I'm not able to come to the conference. I'm a caregiver for my husband who had a stem cell transplant this summer, and he's doing great. But we still have to be fairly careful about social distancing and things like that. And Louisa has been such a beautiful friend to me. I actually took her relic when he was having some complications to Fox Chase Cancer Center and touched his bed. And he came out of that pretty well. And just thinking about how she was placed in the bed and I'm placed in a little bit of being remote with work, remote with everything when the world, I mean, everybody's kind of forgotten there is a pandemic, but, you know, I don't know where I would be without the divine will. And a big part of it is really just the praise. Every morning I look at the sun and I try to do my informal rounds. I try to remember my formal rounds. I at least get the hour of the passion in. And, you know, I've been through things as a Christian before, and I've always felt the presence of the Lord with me, difficult things. I have one of my kids has a chronic illness, but this has just bumped it up to a new level. I feel a happiness in this that I don't know that I would have felt. And so I just wanted to just praise God and just thank him so much for Maureen is actually why I'm in the Divine Will. She talked about it at a Flame of Love conference 2 years ago, and I'd been flirting with it, but not really in it. And I felt the Lord tug on me at that moment, just like Matthew at the tax booth, and say, what's going on, girlfriend? You were going to pray the hours of the passion every day. And I promised him that I would do it. And I started, you know, I joined Mary's Hill. I joined several other cenacles. I'm reading volumes with another group, and I'm actually teaching it to a Flame of Love cenacle. I mean, I'm a kindergartner teaching a kindergartner, but,
we all are.
You know, but anyway, I mean, I don't want to take up all the time, but I just wanted, it made me think of that Bible verse, and I'm just so thankful for the Divine Will. And as I said, I don't know where I'd be without it.
You know, those exact words you said, I was on the phone with Father Celso a few hours ago. And by the way, he says hello to everyone. He's anxiously awaiting September, but he's going to be with us tomorrow. I'll explain that later. And he says, where would the world be, especially people of goodwill, when every time you open the news or you read the newspaper, which our Blessed Mother told us in Father Gobi's Locutions, put it down. It's all wrong. Mm-hmm. It's all bad. So I don't know. Yeah, I agree. I don't know where I would be also. And we have this happiness that borders delirium and borders lunacy at the same time. But it doesn't matter, because you know what? When we're happy during the day, I think it's easier to give thanksgiving to God, and it's easier to appreciate everything. It's like that song by McGraw, live every day as if it's your last, because quite frankly, we don't know. It might be. And why am I going to wait till tomorrow? I think Father Brown gave us a great quote. I don't know if he wrote it or if he just repeated it, but he said, today is crucified between two thieves, yesterday and tomorrow. And it's so true. We can't dwell on yesterday. Yeah, we can learn from it. And we can't over-prepare for tomorrow because we're not sure if we're going to have it. We have to seek right now, because that's what God's given us. And that's, you know, some people say, well, how do I know God's will? God's will is right now. Right now. Now, we don't always do God's will. We may be sloth at times. But if he's brought us to a cenacle, if he's brought us to a volume, if he's somehow put that lonely piece of paper from volume 18, that I don't know how it got out of the volume, how do you put it down there? And what that volume did and inspired me, it's been on my mind for the last 4 or 5 days. It was the crux of the Radio Maria program, and we're having a special cenacle for it right now. So again, everything by design, nothing by coincidence. And Valerie, thank you so much for all that sharing. And we pray for your family members, and we know that God will take care of them. Again, a quote from Father Celso, we do what God wants, and God will do what we want. So it's okay to have petitions, because we have certain needs, and God's going to, he's going to deliver on those promises. But again, what's he asking from us? The duty of the creature to requite God's love. Thank you, God. Bless you, God. We can do that subliminally. We can do it vocally, verbally. We can do it in bed, in a chair, handicapped, fully upright. It doesn't matter. As long as we're blessed with the opportunity to have reason, for as long as God gives it to us, we have the ability to give glory to God on the level of God, due to God. And that is only possible through the Divine Will. It's extraordinary. I think I saw Jeff had a... Jeff, I'm going to ask you to unmute. Hello, brother.
Hey, how are you doing?
I'm doing well. Sorry to make you wait so long.
Outside, I'm at the Adoration Chapel. Well, let's see. First question is, how come you and I are the only guys in this group?
Well, that's a great question. I didn't look. I didn't even scan yet. But, you know, it's the women, you know, sometimes the women, we hear stories that, you know, there's not enough women participation or female participation in the church. And actually, I don't know the funds. I think it's going to be, as we see, very evident, it's the women that are the bulwark of the restoration of this church. I'm not sure if the men are busy. I know I was not attentive, I was looking for love in all the wrong places. That's another song. So that's my excuse, but we can pray for that. And I think I'm seeing a little bit of an insurgence of that, clearly not even coming close to equaling it out, but we rely on the women. And so did Jesus, number one, with his Blessed Mother, with St. Mary Magdalene. So, women are going to be the bulwark of this restoration. And obviously you're seeing it firsthand today. Good question, Jeff.
Hey, here's my actual question is, and you sort of answered it already, but I was wondering if you or maybe somebody else has a good idea on like how to know what the divine will is. And you sort of said it, just like what's the circumstances of the moment. But do you have any other examples of, know if you're heading in the right way or if I'm just doing my own thing?
Well, the first word that comes to mind is passivity. We must be passive. Now, when I say passive, that doesn't mean we crawl up in a ball in the fetal position and just, let everyone walk around us or lie back in a lounge chair. But I think the greatest thing, and again, this is going to be difficult to explain, but I think easy to understand once we ponder it individually. The saints did things, and upon the completion of those things that they did, that's who they became. So they did and they would be based on what they did. God is saying, I'm turning that all around. For any Filipinos, it's baligtad, upside down, backwards. He's now saying, no, I want you to be first. And that's why he says, you must give up even holy things. And I don't know if I have that quote here, but the Blessed Mother has that in day 16, and our Blessed Lord states that also we have to give up even holy things to embrace this gift. Oh, here it is. Okay. So our Blessed Lord states it in one instance in volume 17, September 18th, 1924. Again, this is a snippet in the middle. He says, but don't be surprised if you see that others do not understand. Because to understand, they would have to dispose themselves to make the greatest sacrifice of all, which is not to give life, even in holy things, to their own will. And again, that's a tough one to recognize in of itself. So what is our beautiful Blessed Mother? What does she do? She takes what Jesus says and she gives us a little bit more information. So this is, I'm sorry, it was in volume, it's in the Virgin Mary of the King, day 22. And don't mind my allergy. So Virgin Mary of the Kingdom, day 22, and this is Our Lady speaking. Quote, my child, the divine will is intransient, unchangeable, unwavable, and desires all, even sacrifices in the holiest things, but always according to the circumstances. That's the important part, I think, Jeff, right there, according to the circumstances. And just to give you some rough examples, and again, I'm probably not doing it justice, but when it comes to giving up holy things, it's almost like if you're a doctor and there's a catastrophe and you've got one person to the left who needs your help and you've got 10 people to the right that need your help, both of which you can do, but you only have time to do one. Would you choose to save the one or save the 10? It's a hard choice, but the greater good would be to save the 10. Now, when Our Lady says, well, according to circumstances, let's say, for example, you decided to pull yourself back from the soup kitchen for a while, just to digest the divine will, so that when you go to serve, you're not just serving the temporal needs of those in front of you. You're serving the needs of spiritual needs of all souls, past, present, and future, which is greater. Of course, that is. But according to circumstances. So if there's 3 people running the soup kitchen and 2 call out sick, okay, Jeff, it's either you go to the soup kitchen and 100 people don't eat, they eat, or you sit home and read the divine will and 100 people go hungry that night. Well, that's a night you have to do the holy thing and you have to go and do your obligation. But if you do have the opportunity, if there's 3 there and they're not going to miss you, you may want to bow out. You may want to just take this in so that we can now be then to do the opposite of what the saints did. I think that's a rough explanation of how to do it. And the will, Father Celso and Father Iannuzzi will tell you also, as long as your actions are not sinful, it's God's will. He's going to allow you to be in a position is permissible will is going to allow even something not great to happen to you if it has to happen, again, for a greater good. It's like we're on this perpetual bumper car. And we know that once you hit the side rail, it's not such a bad thing because it puts you into a different direction. It puts you back out into the field again. We have to feel, and we really have to pray about this. And we really, I think we're going to know when we're doing God's will. I think we're going to have that peace. We're going to have, like Valerie spoke about, we're going to have that joy, that happiness in what we're doing. Again, any act that we're doing, as long as it's not sinful, really is God's will for that moment. And from there, it's the growth from there. It's the inspiration that we receive and convert from there, I think, what really takes us into that bumper car new direction. Just silly analogies, but it's probably the best I can do on the fly.
Jeff, I hope that helps a little bit. Yeah, I have.
Come on, please.
Yeah, when I was trying to, when I was introduced to this, I was first introduced 20 years ago, 25 years ago. My children were all little, and I kept saying to my father, I don't have time. But anyway, when my time came, I knew it was there. I knew it was my time. But what I did was, the more I know, it's the knowledge for me. And so when I would get in the car, no more talk radio, no more listening to anything in the car. This is just what I do, accept the divine will. So when I'm driving, like when I drive to see my children, or I'm in the car all the time, divine will goes on that radio, on my cell phone. And so I listen and I listen. I immerse myself in it. So even if I'm not sitting, we do read every morning, but even if I'm not reading a book in a quiet little place in my home, I'm listening to it. And there's so many ways to do that. If you walk, if you exercise, if you get on a bike, whatever you do, I mean, not a bike in the street, but, you know, a stationary bike, there's always times when you can make that decision. Oh, I want to hear the news. Nope. I'm not going to listen to the news. I'm going to listen to Father Inuzzi. I'm going to listen to the volumes. I'm going to, because it's all over the internet. And so once you begin to listen, and it's, there's so much to listen to, you think I'm never going to, this is never going to, but it does. Eventually it sinks in. And so that's what I did. It's the knowledge of it, the little things that I remember. Oh, yes. And then physically start with the little things. Jesus, breathe in my breathing. Jesus, like the little tiny things that you beat in my heart beating. Rest with me, nap with me, let me speak with your tongue, let me listen with your ears. All those little tiny things that to us, especially as Americans, we want to go do. We want to do stuff. We want to go places and be seen and be noticed. And that all has to, I mean, for me, what I think is, like Jesus said to Louisa, you'll be looking like you're doing nothing while you're doing everything.
I love that quote. Yeah.
Just sitting in bed. I mean, when you look at what she did, the greatest saint that ever lived, she never went anywhere. Well, she did kind of go around the world at night, but
she went nowhere, but she went everywhere.
Yeah, right. So little things like that helped me, you know, when I was trying to. And then you begin to realize, like, you have that passivity because you learned something and then you did it. So the knowledge, I think, helps.
Right. And I think you've got the gerbil wheel effect of between desire and knowledge. We have to desire it to obtain the knowledge. And as we obtain and digest, masticate on this knowledge, we increase our desire. So before you know it, like I think many of us are saying, you don't turn the TV on, or you don't look at the news, or you don't go play golf. And again, I'm not putting down any of these things, but just, yeah. You recognize that there's greater things to be done. We can learn also from the souls in purgatory have spoken through prophets, church-approved prophets. And one of the things that they've mentioned often, consistently, is if they had a remorse, it would be not making better use of the time they had while on earth, cutting out the frivolous things, because we don't have a lot of time. There's only 24 hours in a day. We can't invent 25, but all of us can reallocate how we use those 24 hours. I mean, we have to sleep, about a third of it. We have to work about a third of it. What are we doing the other 8 hours? Well, if we're watching 3 hours of TV, cut it down to two, then cut it down to one. Before you know, we just celebrated our 24th anniversary, I think it is, with no TV. That was really hard for me in the beginning. I like my law and order. I like my sports. It's this tasteful to me now. Jesus says he's going to change our palate. What we liked, we're going to dislike. Again, these are not sinful acts, but they're not acts that are going to grow us spiritually. And of course, they're not going to help all souls, past, present, and future. So again, I think starting slowly on that, I think it's easier to do. Again, with the TV, we did a cold turkey. It was tough for a few months. And now I can't, I would never go back to it. But just little things like that. It takes a little bit, and I'm not a courageous guy, but it takes a bit of courage to do that. And again, I feel, you know, I feel for you too. If you're in a family, you know, the rest of your family wants TV and you say no. Well, you know what then? Maybe don't cut the cable, but just don't participate in that. Or while they're watching, you know, be in their presence and just read or have the buds in and listen. There's ways around, but the more knowledge, I think you said this, and this is really, really key, I think, Maureen, the more knowledge we obtain, the more desire we fester. And again, the more desire we have, the more knowledge we're he says, Jesus tells Louisa, desire admits us to this gift. So if we desire this gift, he's bringing us into the gift. Again, not in its totality, but let's get this clear also, you can still be in the divine will and not be in it totally. You can be on the bottom. So desire admits us into this gift, gets us into the foyer, so to speak. Knowledge advances us in this gift. Virtues anchor us in this gift. And life actualizes it, putting into practice what we learned. And these are the four steps that Jesus gives us. But I think the desire and the knowledge, they're reciprocal. They really work hand in hand, and they feed off each other. And I think once you get past that certain level, it's almost like autopilot, like cruise control. You don't even realize you're doing it. You know, you're going to adoration below. You're going to adoration now. You're opening up the volumes. Instead of opening up the newspaper, open up the volumes. Open up the hours of the passion. Jesus says, Father, I knew, he says, if you have limited time and you want to advance in this gift the fastest, he suggests read and meditate on the hours of the passion because you're actively participating in Jesus's passion. That is the quickest way to grow through the divine will. Again, that's not minimizing the effects of the volumes, of course not. But if you have a limited amount of time, I think that is going to make you, it's going to coerce you to reallocate your time and place more time on the divine will, which is going to help your family. Again, they may not see it immediately, but it's going to. And it's going to help all souls, past, present. I think about this and I chuckle. This is the greatest opportunity to be the humble hero. Doesn't everyone want to be a hero? I want, you know, save a life. I mean, it would be nice if you can do that, right? I'm not saying you aspire to be in the front page. Everyone wants to be a hero. Everyone wants to help. Here's a humble way to be the greatest of all heroes. Because that act of the divine will effectuates accidental glory on all souls. For God. God gives it. We don't give it. We don't generate that. But we trigger that based on the joy that God has. All of heaven is elated when any of us start to crawl back to where Adam and Eve were. That's what we're doing, crawling. It could be a slow process. It could be a very quick process. We don't even worry about time. But you know, Jeff, I think the adoration itself, maybe the hours of the passion at the adoration, I think you're starting off really well.
Can I ask one more question or should we move on?
Sure. No, go one more. Quick.
Well, yeah, if we need to wrap it up, I understand. But so I'm thinking, you know, I mean, I quit watching my TV back in 1996, as well as music and the radio. And now I'm at the point, I think my thought is to sell my house, move out to the country, build a little tiny house, and just kind of go off grid, so to speak, and just pray and garden and go to church every day. And it just does not seem like a very good idea because I'm, you know, I'll miss everybody, and it's the house I grew up in. And I don't know. I mean, I think I know what the right thing to do is, but. Any thoughts on that, or is that not really relevant to this show?
I have a quick thought on that. I think, you know, for some, I think that's going to be the way that they're going to grow closer to this gift. My initial thought was that if that's not practical, because you've got other members of your family that have a say in where you go and where you sell or what you sell and what you buy. Think of it this way. If you're in the country and you have very little distractions, it almost makes this journey easier. What if you stay where you are in all the chaos and all the hectic environment that we're all surrounded by? That's more difficult. There's more sacrifice involved. There's more work involved. So, yeah, on one hand, in the country, maybe easier, but the benefits of sacrifice are innumerable. And again, when we're in an environment where we have multiple and numerous opportunities to make sacrifices, I think we have an enormous opportunity for quick growth.
Oh, so you're sort of saying stay in the Chicago area.
Well, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying whatever you decide, whatever you and your family collectively decide, it really doesn't matter. You're going to journey wherever you are.
I'm single. When I say my family,
okay, yeah.
When I say my family, I mean my sister and nephew.
Okay. Well, that puts a whole different perspective on things. Then, you know, really, if that's what you, I mean, I grew up in New Jersey. I live in the country right now, and I would never go back. Just for those reasons we just articulated. So I would say pray on that, Jeff, because yeah. that's a life changing move. Maybe God is calling you to do that. Maybe he's calling you into something deeper than that. I don't know. But I would pray on that and ask him, say, Lord, I need your help. Can you guide me on this? And I guarantee he's going to start speaking to you. I don't know how long it's going to take, but he'll start speaking to you. Trust him. Good meeting you, Jeff.
All right. Thanks.
Okay. Right, I've got iPad. Whoever iPad is. Hello, iPad. I'm going to ask iPad to unmute. Hi, iPad.
Who's this?
Hi.
My name is Lori Ann. And,
hi, Lori.
Hi, I'm here in New Jersey right now.
Whereabouts?
South Jersey, like 25 minutes. I'm sorry, 25 miles out of Philly, between Philly and Atlantic City. Yeah.
Okay.
But eventually Florida, we're having a house built. But anyway, I was drawn in. Oh, and if you've seen me, my initials, they should come up as L-A-S, L-A-S. That's strange. It said iPad. I don't know why, but anyway, I was drawn into this, I guess, over the last year and a half, and it's been a slow process. I was at a conference. I'm not a part of any formal group where I actually meet people in person. It's all been online. I really love Father Iannuzzi. I love his teaching, and I have all the volumes now and the 24 Hours of the Passion, etc. Bringing me to my question. I've always been, after my reversion, I guess, back, I'm a homeschool, well, was a homeschooling mom. I had the opportunity and I still go to daily mass. So, you know, there's all sorts of opportunity there for quiet time afterwards and praying. And most of the time, if I were doing something that had to do with the divine will, it was with the 24 Hours of the Passion, which is tremendous. Now, the question is this, because I was listening to you earlier at the very beginning and you started reading this. You talked about, I guess, the rounds is what comes to mind. To me, now I've read the book. I know Father Iannuzzi kind of compiled a book of all Louisa's rounds together. And people have done their own version of that online. You can watch a video, listen to the words while you're driving or whatever. But after a while, it seems to me, we talk about desire in the divine will. I feel like it feels artificial because I'm mimicking Louisa's words, which are beautiful for the first time around. But for me, I've always been inspired. Maybe we're all not wired this way, I've always been inspired by the skies. I take lots of pictures. I take pictures of sunsets and storms. And I always have praised God because I know he's behind it all. And the ocean, I mean, like nature pulls me in. But I will in the moment, praise God for that. And to me, that's my little round. But to give myself all that time, other than the 24 hours of the Passion, to do all of these rounds, plus read Louise's volumes, plus read scripture for the day and meditate on that, pray my rosary, something's got to give. And my question is, what's the consensus, I guess, on how we should view our part in the rounds? Is that something we have to do? We need to go through all the rounds of creation and redemption and sanctification, you know, on a cycle, as sometimes Father Celso has it all out on, you know, his website. I mean, is this, if I don't do that and I don't feel drawn to that, and I'm more of a, you know, it's more like quality than quantity for me. I am not putting down people who can do quantity. Mm-hmm. I think that's a gift. That's a gift. But I'm just not there. I'm more of I'm not a Carmelite, but I know Carmelites, and I have that more slow and deliberate spirituality. And Louisa was filled with, like, she was given lots of words. So beautiful. Reading, as Maureen said, learning about it, I could do that. I would be drawn to that, but constantly doing the rounds, is there something wrong with me for not feeling drawn to that? Am I not called to the divine will because I'm not called to doing these rounds in the way other people seem to?
You're afraid of being excommunicated from the divine will? No, you won't be. No, the school of thought here is, and this is the consensus, and again, sometimes Father Celso will have a little bit of a different opinion than Father Annuzzi. We have, first of all, our job, as we learned here, our first duty of the creature is to requite God's love. And we do that through the rounds. So again, that's our first duty to do. Secondly, rounds are an opportunity to repair and redo. That's our job since Adam's fall. So again, it's our job and it's the first duty of the creature. Now comes the question, okay, we've got the rounds given to Louisa, and we've got the seasons on our website also, queenthedivinewill.org and the Divine Will Resource Library. You have the Easter rounds, the rounds of creation. You have to immerse yourself in those rounds. They're so beautiful that they're contagious. But you don't have to worry about reading the whole round book. Take one round. And even if you can't finish the round, start it and let it fester in you. Let you know, that mastication begins, that digestive beginning. Again, the human digestion begins in the mind, I think, first, right, nurse? And then in the saliva and then in the stomach or something like that. So allow that mastication. I agree with you also that the divine will is quality over quantity. But again, we all have different needs, and we all have different time in which to do so. So if you can't spend a lot of time in the already written rounds given to Louisa, your impromptu rounds are just as important. So you want to try to balance that. I think what'll happen here is, I think, and this happened to me, I didn't digest the rounds given to Louisa well enough to appreciate them to the level I should have early on. I felt that my impromptu rounds will suffice. And they really are, because again, all of creation was created for that gentle reminder of God's love. And by making a round, we're requiting the love, which again is the first duty of the creature. But the rounds that were given to Louisa, they're also given to us. So if you do have time, I do suggest you read those. But again, it doesn't mean you have to sit down and read the whole book in one night. If you take a paragraph or two and just, you know, masticate on that, and then do your impromptu rounds, I think you'll be fine. And you're probably doing that already. But again, to read the entire round, if you don't have the opportunity or if you're juggling different responsibilities, God knows your intention. And then one of the greatest things from the divine will is we recognize the value of intentions. You know, I grew up always hearing, the road to hell is paved with good intentions. Like it's worthless. you know, I tend to do this. Well, not really. But Jesus tells us on the opposite. If it's a true intention, again, he knows our heart. If we really intend to do something and we can't for whatever reason, he gives us, for lack of a better word, credit as if we did. And he gives us a great example. He says in redemption, he came to redeem mankind, which he did. He came to save all of mankind, which he did not. No fault of his own. Some people just didn't want to be saved. But because his intention was to save all creatures, the Father gave the Son credit, accolades, as if all creatures were saved. Because that was his intention. He did everything within his power to do that. And he's not going to invalidate our free will. And if someone chooses not to accept his gift and to go the way of hell, it just has to be that way. So I think intentions draw a great delineation between sloth and really what is whetting your appetite more. But my suggestion is dive into a small section of those rounds given to Louisa. Again, don't try to overwhelm yourself with it, and let that grow in you. And I think you're going to increase your desire to incorporate those rounds with your impromptu rounds. That's just my humble opinion.
Thank you.
Marie, any thoughts on that?
Oh, I first thought, since you have such a love for nature, that your impromptu rounds are probably beautiful. That's what that came to me. And so maybe you could alternate or, you know, whatever. I have trouble with the rounds too. And this was good for me to hear. It reminded me that I really need to do the rounds more. But since you have that love and the nature that you take pictures of, it's probably in your mind, and you probably have beautiful rounds on your own. So
thank you.
The dog agrees. Yeah.
I didn't mute quick enough. Oh, he barked.
That's okay. It's real. It's not Memorex. Okay. I think that was really good. Again,
thank you.
We don't have all the answers, clearly. But just to share our own experiences, what has worked, what hasn't worked, I think is really beneficial for all of us. So, Maureen, if you want to start the second paragraph here, we can do that, please. Did I lose Maureen? Maybe she's still on mute. Oh, no, she's gone.
You might want to mute me.
Oh, okay. Thank you. Hi, here's Maureen. Everything good, Maureen?
I had to get the dog out of the room.
Oh, that's fine. We like barking. We like barking. I bark all the time. Okay, we can start here, please.
Okay. Now, while I was fusing myself in the holy divine volition in order to requite God in love for everything he had done in creation for love of creatures, a thought was telling me that it was not necessary to do that, that this way of praying was not pleasing to my Jesus, that these are inventions of my mind. And my always lovable Jesus, moving in my interior, told me, "My daughter, you must know that this way of praying, that is, to requite God in love for all the things created by him, is a divine right, and it enters the first duty of the creature. The creation was made for love of man. Even more, our love was so great that, had it been necessary, we would have created as many heavens, as many suns, stars, seas, earths, plants, and all the rest, for as many creatures as were to come to the light of this world, so that each one of them might have a creation for herself, a universe of her own."
Is that spectacular, what God wants to give? I'd like to start off on this with, first of all, while I was fusing myself in the holy divine volition, I think that's a great place to start. We have to be fused for that love to be returned on the level of God due to God. We must be in the divine will. So that's why the Pravina Act is so important, where we're asking for the divine will, which is a requirement, Jesus tells us. He says there's four things. He says, first of all, to receive this gift, we must be in the state of grace. Number two, we must have an ardent desire And by the way, if you don't know what an ardent desire is, because I didn't know what constitutes an ardent desire, Father Nuzzi was really great. He extrapolated throughout the volumes where Jesus articulates what's the ingredients that make the ardent desire cupcake. And we took it and we made a visual. It's on the website, queenofthedivinewill.org. It's on the page entitled Divine Will Visual Aids. So you can look at the ingredients and say, okay, am I doing this? Am I doing that? Can I do that better? Again, not to be so bogged down with self, looking at yourself too closely, but it helps us. What is an ardent desire? So you have to have an ardent desire, must be in a state of grace. We must have an upright intention. We must want this for everyone, not just for ourselves. And we must ask for it. That's one that caught me by surprise. We must ask. God wants us to ask for it. Remember, he wants the paternity of being a father. And doesn't any father or mother, for that matter, don't they love when a child asks, "Mommy, can I do this? Can you get this for me? Daddy, can you do this for me? Can you help me?" Of course, those are just beautiful feelings. God wants to, he wants to be that paternal father. He wants us to be children, loving children. So again, in the divine volition fusing, we must be there. Then it's interesting too. Now she's almost doubting what she's feeling, but yet she's really not doubting. Jesus tells her at the end that you never had any doubts. So in essence, it's a rhetorical doubt. She's doubting on behalf of all of us that on occasion doubt. And, you know, doubting is not necessarily bad all the time. I mean, there's two sort of quasi-doubts. One is you don't believe either that God can do it, or you'd like to know how he can do it. And sometimes when we doubt, if we investigate and we work at it, the doubt actually disappears and we become fortified in what we were doubting. Perfect example, look at doubting Thomas. He became a stellar apostle, fearless, loving God with every cell of his body, welcoming martyrdom. And he doubted. Again, did he doubt on behalf of us that will doubt? Probably. Just like Louisa, she never doubted. But she says, in my mind. So maybe God planted that in her mind just to have her think. And what does she do? She comes out of this. It gives God an opportunity to say, my daughter, you must know that this way of praying is what I want. If he came out and said that without her doubting, it would be different. I just think that's so extraordinary on how by doubting or by questioning, again, that doesn't mean we lack faith if we're doubting in the proper context. We want more information. Another example may be our Blessed Mother. You will conceive a child. How can this be? Not saying you can't do this, God, or wait a minute, you're not doing this with me. No. How can this be? I have no relations with men. She wanted to know so that she can serve and love God more. She believed God. She trusted God. But she wanted, in that trust and in that love, she wanted to learn more. And here, Louisa, again, using our doubts, not her own doubts, gives God this opportunity to explain to us, my daughter, or we can just say my children, you must know that this way of praying, that is to requite God in love for all created things, is a divine right. It's our right. And it enters the first duty. Yeah, he talks about this, the first. It's not the second duty. It's not the third or fourth. It's not the first half a dozen duties. It's the first duty. And we go back to that picture. That's all it is. And if we can't do this physically, we do this spiritually. It's extraordinary. This gift is for everyone. Really. Any other thoughts on that, Maureen? It's a lot there.
Oh, no, that's now you said it.
I said, right.
Said it all.
how about we would have created as many heavens and as many suns, stars, seas, earths, plants, and all the rest for as many creatures as were to come to the light of this world, so that each one of them might have a creation for herself, a universe of her own. We're going to talk about that in the next paragraph a little bit more, which is really, really intriguing. Anybody have anything to share on this paragraph? Or are you going to wait till next? Okay, I think we can move on then. This is a really good one. And this, yeah, just clear your mind a little bit here. Just let these three or four sentences really just sink in.
And in fact, when everything was created, Adam was the only spectator of all creation. He could enjoy all the good he wanted. And if we did not do so, it was because man could enjoy everything anyway, as if it were his own, even if others also might enjoy it. In fact, who cannot say, the sun is mine, and enjoy the light of the sun as much as he wants? Or, the water is mine, and quench his thirst, and make use of it there where he needs it? Or, the sea, the earth, the fire, the air are my things, and so with many other things created by me.
Talk about food for thought. Have you ever thought about walking into the ocean? It's yours. It's yours. It's only yours, but it's also for others. And we can enjoy it as our own as long as we don't deprive others of enjoying it. So if I walk in the ocean and say, okay, no one else go in, just me. No, it's not an upright intention also. But we walk in that ocean. Look out. It's here for me. Nobody can bother me. Right? There could be a lot of playing going on, shouting or whatever. Not going to bother me. I'm here. I'm in this ocean. It's all mine. I can enjoy it all. The sun. It's all mine. And if I choose to get away from the sun, I'll put up an umbrella. I'll go inside. I'll go under a tent. It's there. It's mine. It follows me. It acts as if it was just shining on me. Take in as much as you want. But others can enjoy it also. That's really beautiful. Or the water is mine. And quench his thirst and make use of it where he needs it. Or the sea, the earth, the fire, the air are my things. And so with many other things created by me. Everything God has created is given to us. And that's everything. And what does he ask for us in return from us? Requiring God's love in all creative things. Lord, thank you for this ocean. Thank you for the healing salt water. Thank you for the beautiful visual that I have here of your majesty. Giving glory to God on the level of God, due to God, if we're doing it the divine will. All of heaven is ecstatic because the creature is crawling back to his original form. The disfigurement is becoming perfect again. Slowly. The ocean is mine. The water is mine. It's really true. It is ours. And it's everybody's. Any thoughts on it?
All I could think of was little 2-year-olds that always say, mine, mine. It's like they get it. They're always saying, that's mine. Maybe because I'm with my grandkids all the time, but that's what I was thinking, how the little kids are always saying that. But that's all. That's all that came.
Oh, can start here, Maureen, please.
Okay, let's see here. Sorry.
Okay.
And if it seems that man lacks something, that life suffers hardships, it is because of sin, which, barring the way of my benefits, prevents the things created by me from being abundant for the ungrateful creature. So, given all this, that in all created things God bound his love toward each creature, hers was the duty to requite God with her little love, with her gratitude, with her thank you to the one who had done so much for her. Not requiting God in love for everything he has done for man in creation is the first fraud that the creature makes against God. It is to usurp his gifts without even recognizing where they come from and the one who has loved her so much. Oh, sad.
I was guilty of that. You know, when I woke up in the morning, I was so busy. Yeah, you know, when I was doing stuff in the world, I was so busy with what I was doing, I would just get up and do it and wouldn't give any thanks at all. And if you think about when we sleep, our body, of course, needs sleep. We're in a quasi-coma, in essence. And then 6, 7, 8 hours later, God, or with the help of the alarm clock, God brings us out of the coma. We could have very well stayed in it. But he brings us out. And that's why we say, grateful to have awakened today, both physically, with the opportunity to awaken spiritually. And we're awakening every day as we journey the divine will. And then we recognize, which is contrary to logic sometimes, we're blessed beyond the pale to be alive at this time. This is the greatest opportunity to please God, to serve God, to know God. I'll do it in the reverse order. And he's brought us here. He's brought us all here. We are cogs. And he's bringing a small group of cogs closer to him than ever before. Intimate with him so that he may share with us what he pleases. And we in turn may share with others. It's all spiritual, though. Nobody's receiving any inventory. It's coming, it's passing through, it's being given. I think we're learning the spirituality of what it means to be alive, what it means to be a Christian, what it means to be a Catholic. Nobody ever explained what does it mean to be Catholic. Yeah, we could read a few things and make some sense of some things. But now we know. What does God want? He wants the requital of his love. He wants a thank you. That's all he wants. And if we give that thank you in the divine will, fused with his will, we give him the thank you on the level of God, due to God. And all of heaven is elated because God is finally getting deservingly what he should receive. That's just incredible if you just think about it. And here we are. He's got a wonderful sense of humor also. We know that. Anybody have any comments on that? That's another beautiful one. Again, I think the majority of these little paragraphs, they really need to be pondered. And I think God will inspire us so much from what he's written here. Because again, this is the answer. This is the answer that we may have been asking, we may not have been asking, but everything that God gives to us, what is he looking for in return? What does he expect from us? And now we know. Now we know. So we can't claim ignorance anymore. Now we know. And we know we know.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Okay. Any comments? Again, if anyone has a comment, just please raise your hand. Okay, I think we can move on. Okay, please.
Therefore, this is the first duty of the creature, And this duty is so indispensable and important that she who took to heart all our glory, our defense, our interest, did nothing but go around through all the spheres, from the smallest to the greatest thing created by God, in order to impress her requital of love, of glory, of thanksgiving for all in the name of all human generations. Ah, yes, it was precisely my celestial mama who filled heaven and earth with the requital for everything that God had done in creation. Sorry, Peter.
Allergies.
You'll have to finish.
Okay. After her came my humanity, which fulfilled this duty so sacrosanct, in which the creature had so very much failed, and rendered my celestial father benevolent toward guilty man. All and in the name of all human generations. That's the glory given to God and the level of God. God gives to all. And then I was precisely my celestial mama who filled heaven and earth with my requital of love. She did it perfectly. I don't have the catechism number, but in the catechism, it states that our Blessed Mother is the perfect example of the church to come. The perfect example of the church to come. And Our Lady is Queen of the Divine Word. So it's easy to put those two together. Again, he reiterates it once more. Therefore, this is the first duty. It's not the first few. It's not the first dozen. This is the first duty of the creature. I think this changes everything. I wasn't aware of this. I don't remember even reading this passage. But there it is, laying out. We know what God wants now. No more questions. Yeah, we may perfect now how we're going to respond to him, but that's going to come in time, perhaps. It'll help us. But we know. And we know. That's what's so beautiful. And we hope Maureen comes back too. Okay, we can continue then. So these were my... Oh, you're back. Okay, good.
I'm back. I had to get a cough drop.
Okay.
So these were my prayers and those of my inseparable mama. Don't you want then to repeat my very prayers? Even more, this is why I have called you into my will, that you may associate yourself with us and follow and repeat our acts. So I tried as much as I could to go around through all created things, to give to my God the requital of love, of glory, of gratitude for everything he had done in creation. I seemed to see in all created things the requital of love of my Empress Mama and of my beloved Jesus. This requital formed the most beautiful harmony between heaven and earth, and bound the creator to the creature. Each requital of love was a key, a little sonata of enrapturing celestial music. And my sweet Jesus added, my daughter, all created things were nothing other than an act of our will that issued them, nor can they move or change the effects, the position, or the office which each of them received by its creator. They are nothing other than mirrors in which man was to admire the reflections of the qualities of his creator. In some the power, in some the beauty, in other created things the goodness, the immensity, the light, etc.
It's a great passage where God is actually explaining the role of creation. Defining it, in essence, for us. And, you know, it's interesting too, because Jesus explains to us that creation was gainfully employed by God to be our subtle reminder of his love, his beauty, his generosity, his benevolence, everything. That was their job. They were hired, in essence, to do that job. And that's what Adam did, and Eve did. Went around glorifying God on the love of God due to God with all creation. Then he sins. He falls from grace. He no longer has that perfect union with God. No longer can he have the proper requital of love on the level of God. He lost that opportunity. So now all of creation, who was, for lack of a better term, hired for a certain job, now they cannot fulfill that job. In essence, they're out of a job. They're all issued pink slips. They used to give pink slips out, right, when someone's laid off. So Jesus explains to Louisa, this is the reason why waters come out of their boundaries, earthquakes, floods, holes in the ground, severe storms, all this, in essence, is almost acting like an act of rebellion, of disappointment. But more so, it's the disorder. When Adam and Eve disordered God's creation, his masterpiece, all associated with it, except God, of course, became disordered. All of creation became disordered, confused, rebelling, for lack of a better word. So as, and Father Nuzzi explains this too, as sin continues to grow, we're going to see these issues with the weather and earthquakes and floods increase. There'll be a direct correlation, increase in sin, increase in natural disasters. In fact, the first natural disaster was Adam's original sin. But as the divine will, again, through our repairing and redoing, that's our job. That's why it's so important to do those rounds, impromptu or the written ones, or combination if we can. As we begin to make those rounds, we begin to repair. We rebuild the void that God placed in each and every one of us. There's two voids, in essence, just to keep it simple in my mind. There's the void that God created in each and every one of our souls. That's that space in which to house God. This is the one that's the most elastic of anything of his creation, because it was made to house God. You have to be very expansive to do that, because the more of God you have, I mean, you'll never fill all of God. But that void was there for us to fill it with him. And that's what Adam didn't do. When he sinned, he could no longer fill that void. Because he could not do anything on the level of God due to God because of his displacement. The second void, that's the ones that we create. Those are the bad. The first void's a good void. God's giving us space to house God. That's a good thing. The second void is those missed opportunities to give glory and honor to God on the level of God due to God. And we create this void in our soul. Every time we pass something of creation. Again, we're driving, we can't focus on the tree and get into an accident. But, and we can't not have a conversation because we're making rounds. But practically speaking, the more we do that, the more we're repairing and redoing, the less voids we're creating on our own. Because Jesus says we must fill all those voids, those self-created voids, before we can possibly enter heaven. That's why we're being given this opportunity now on earth while we're still living. That's why the resurrection is here on earth while we're still living. Again, these things sound so radical. They sound almost heretical. But again, if you read in the context of how Jesus explains it, that's why it's, food for thought. When introducing the gift of the divine will, the first thing to someone who's never heard of the divine will, you probably don't want to say, the divine will is greater than the Eucharist. It's probably not going to be received properly. and they're probably going to run from you. But if you read the way Jesus explains it, the Eucharist is the divine will for that 15 minutes until the host dissolves. So the divine will is in the accident of the host. So the divine will for 15 minutes, or the perennial communion with God, living in the divine will. They're the same, but which is greater? 15 minutes or eternity? Of course, eternity. That's why the divine will is greater than the Eucharist. But God's not greater than God. It's the same, but there's more of it on one side. That's a little silly explanation, but it's the only way it makes sense to me. Anything else, Maureen?
Well, I was thinking about how in the Old Testament, it was foreshadowings of what was in the New. And I was just, as you were talking about that, how we have the Eucharist now, and it's a foreshadowing of the kingdom when we have Jesus 24/7. Same kind of thing.
Yes, you know where that takes me also? Sorry that I digress, but this really gets me excited. It's a foreshadowing. And now, you know, I understand. Well, I don't want this to sound wrong, but I sometimes, early on in my life, I was wondering, why is it such a grave sin if I miss Mass, if I don't receive communion? Why is it a mortal sin? I just didn't go one day. It doesn't mean I don't love God. But now with the divine will and understanding that Jesus, everything he did in redemption and creation had as his primary purpose in creation, the same redemption, the sacraments, saints do, the many graces, everything given has been for the seeds, the means to let man reach his possession of my divine will. That's why. Because if we don't get a taste of it, how are we going to desire it? Again, we get this gerbil wheel again, knowledge. Efficacy, that's a great word. How do we get the effect of it? By receiving it. How do we allow God to pour out the graces? By receiving, by learning, by receiving reverently. And the more we get this taste of the divine will, the more we're going to desire it. Actually, God is, he's creating addicts out of us, addicted to his love, addicted to his divine will, recognizing through the Eucharist that we must live in his most holy divine will. It's the only way we're going to be happy and we're going to make God happy. But we need that 15 minutes to condition us to receive the perennial communion, which is the gift of the divine will. Now that makes perfect sense. See, I was a doubter too. I wasn't a doubter because I didn't believe. I was a doubter because I just couldn't understand it. And now my simple mind understands it through the divine will. Go figure. Any comments on that? It's beautiful. Again, I think it's worthy of meditation. And I think, again, if you have any comments, we'd love to, after the program, just email them to us. And if it's a question that, you know, is deep and we can't handle it, we'll make sure we get it to Father Celso, Father Nuzzi, or Mother Gabriel, and we'll get you the answer. Because truth will set us free. Okay. Marie, we can continue here, please.
In sum, each created thing preaches to man the qualities of its creator, and with mute voices, they tell him how much I love him. On the other hand, in creating man, it was not just our will, but an emanation that came out of our womb, a part of ourselves that we infused in him. And this is why we created him with a free will, that he might grow always in beauty, in wisdom, in virtue. In our likeness, he could multiply his goods, his graces.
It's amazing. God could have created each and every one of us to love him emphatically, without delay, without gap. but he didn't, because that would have been self-serving. Instead, he showed his love by giving us the option to love him or not to love him. He gives us every reason, if we look for it, to love him. But he won't force that, because he wants a true love. It's so powerful. It's so powerful that that true love is so important to God. Knowing that some will be lost because of that free will. I think that is one ingredient of God that really stays with me. He loves us so much that he gives us the option not to love him. And he's not giving up on us. He should have given up on me a long time ago. I can use the words of St. Louis de Montfort. If it were not for our Blessed Mother, Mary, my soul would have already been damned. I don't even know maybe it is still, but I think she saved me. She's going to save each and every one of us if we allow her. And sometimes God's permissive will has to bring us down to a bit of darkness. Because I think it's in that darkness that we crave the light. And we recognize the light when given the opportunity. Now, if you're in a dark room and also a bright light goes on, you squint, you notice it. But if you shine a bright light in broad daylight with the sunshine, you can barely notice it. So sometimes God allows, the principle allows the darkness. Again, it's man's darkness. It's not God's darkness. But he allows it so that his light maybe more recognizable, maybe more noticeable, maybe more attractable to us. Because when we're in darkness, we're usually coincides with fear, right? Angst. And it's all the opposite of God.
Peter, makes God's me
the,
think that...
God's the greatest poet, isn't he? I'm sorry.
Yeah, he really is. No, I was just thinking, I got kind of a little emotional. Like I was feeling like picturing the Father in heaven saying to us who believe, we believe. Why do we believe? Someone prayed for us, or who knows why. But I feel like he's saying to us, please pray for your brothers and sisters that they love me. And it makes me feel kind of sad. I don't know why, or just, in the hours of the passion, Jesus says, feel sorry for me. And I kind of do. I mean, I know they don't need my pity, but they're asking us to pray for the non-believers so that they fall in love with God. And I think it's such a big job for us to do. I think it's to pray for the non-believers and the conversion of the sinners that they love God. It's so important. And in the divine will, how many souls you can reach. It's a great calling, I think, for us all now to do that.
You're so right. Our Lady of Fatima, our Blessed Mother, she articulates that also. She says, many souls go to hell because there's no one to pray for them. God gives us all an opportunity to help each other. I don't know if you want to classify it or as part of the communion of saints, but we know now in the divine will that each of us can have a positive effect on all souls, past, present, and future, not because of what we're doing, but because of what we did, the response of God is doing. All souls. Yeah, we have that upright intention. We want everyone to feel the way we do. I forget who mentioned it early on that we've got this sense of happiness when, we should be worried. If we weren't thinking, if we didn't trust, scary times. Can't even walk on the street anymore in the cities. But Jesus says, this is why there's a state of general confusion. People are just acting bizarrely. Because the kingdom is here. And this renewal is about to take place. I really think it's going to be in our lifetime. So does Father Celso, so does Father Nuzzi, so does Mother Gabriel. Well, again, we're not predicting, we're not giving a date. I think it's within our lifetime. I really do. The way things are going. Remember, evil has to exhaust itself, Jesus says. I think it's getting pretty close. And then what happens in the midst of all this chaos? God shows his might with the reversal of Roe versus Wade on the Feast of the Sacred Heart. When everything is falling apart, he says, wait a minute, don't lose faith. Look what I'm going to do right now. And I think, and Father Celso, we had this conversation today, Father Celso believes it's because of the prayers of the divine will that life is being given a chance again.
And I think we're going to see more of that kind of thing.
Absolutely.
So he's going to send us signs.
Expect a miracle.
Yeah, because he wants us to make sure we know he's still on the throne and he's in control. And right. Not to be, you know, afraid of evil in any way, shape, or form. He's that's allowing right. things and, you know, he still has a say. Yeah, it's good. Thank you, God.
Speaking of afraid, I'm afraid we're running late here. Maureen, we've got three more points to make. Okay. How's your time? Can you do the three? Well, can we?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, I'll try to
keep my mouth closed. Do you want
to read through it? Why don't you do that? Yeah, we can just give a brief comment at the end.
Okay.
Please.
Oh, if a son had a free will and could make two sons from one, four sons from two, what glory, what honor would it not give to its creator? And how much glory also to itself? Yet what the created things cannot do because they are without a free will, and because they were created to serve man, man can do, because he was to serve God. So all our love was centralized in man, and this is why we placed all creation at his disposal, all ordered around him, that man might make use of our words, like as many stairs and ways in order to come to us, to know us, and to love us. But what is our sorrow in seeing man below our created things, even more, his beautiful soul, given by us, transformed into ugliness by sin, and not only ungrown in good, but horrid to the sight. Yet, as if everything that was created for him were not enough to our love, in order to preserve this free will, we gave him the greatest gift, which surpassed all other gifts. We gave him our will as preserver, as antidote, as provenience and help for his free will. So our will placed itself at his disposal to give him all those aids which man might need. Our will was given to him as primary life and as the first act of all his works. Having to grow in grace and in beauty, he needed a supreme will, which could not only keep company with his human will, but would substitute for the operating of the creature. But this great gift also he despised and did not know what and did not want to know. See then how our will enters the primary life of the creature. And as long as it maintains its first act, its life, the creature grows always in grace, in light, in beauty. She preserves the bond of the first act of her creation, and we receive the glory of all created things because they serve our will operating in the creature, the only purpose of all creation. Therefore, I recommend to you, let our will be more than life for you and the first act of all your actions.
Game over. Just the ending. Therefore, I recommend to you. I'm not telling you. I'm not ordering you. I recommend to you. Let our will be more than life for you. Let it be everything. and the first act of all your actions. Again, that reciprocity, requital of love, our duty, our right, as God explains to us. This is an incredible passage with an incredible message and oozing with incredible hope. We know what to do. We can either do it or not. Antidote. The divine will is the antidote of all evil, of all poison, of all malice, of all time. We're so blessed. Really quickly, Maureen, coming up tomorrow, anyone who's having Father Celso withdrawals, Father Celso will be live with Ken Johnson and myself on What the World Needs Now. What an appropriate name. On In His Sign Catholic Radio Network, and that's at live at 5 p.m. from 5 to 6 p.m. You can listen live at inhissign.com, and there's a link there to listen live, and there's archives and all that stuff. But yeah, Father Celso will be there live. I think this is the first live talk he's given since June until he resumes his schedule again in September. So that's 5 p.m. tomorrow on inhissign.com. And then Thursday is Radio Maria. We'll have, Mother Gabriel Maria and Sister Francesca are here in the mainland, in the States, visiting relatives. So we're going to have the Benedictine Daughters of Divine Will, minus Mother and minus Sister Francesca. And that's live on Radio Maria at 11 a.m. on Thursday. So a lot of great stuff is happening. God is just so wonderful. We thank God for everything. Maureen, thank you so much. Battling that. That cough and that my allergies are not half as bad as yours, and you're a trooper. Give us some feedback. Do you like maybe an occasional passage like this where we open it up a little interactive,
More
jovial? I do too. But yeah. Let us know what you think. If this is something you'd like to be repeated, maybe once in a while, we'll try to comply as best we can. But thanks be to God for everything. We're exactly where we need to be, and where we need to be in the time we need to be. And that is God's will. We're here. Thanks be to God. Love everyone.
Bye-bye, everybody.
Bye, everyone.